Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church in the heart of Belfast.
Hey, it's great to be with you this morning, just carrying on our Who Do You Say I Am series. Have you enjoyed this series? I think we're in week 11, 12, something like that. It has been phenomenal. If you have not had the chance to be listening to all those weeks, go back over them and just let the word come and wash over you. We're straight in today, carrying on throughout the series, looking at John 14. What we have heard throughout this series is based in John 20, verse 31, that the book of John, the scriptures, that they have been written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Today I want to talk to you about the statement that Jesus makes in John 14 when he says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And I absolutely believe today you will find freedom in this by hearing these statements, what they mean for your life, and that they will bring fresh victory in your life despite what's going on in your current circumstances, that you can experience life in all of its fullness. But first, I want to set the context of where we're at. Last week, Andrew preached on Lazarus. It was a brilliant, brilliant sermon just about Jesus working through and Lazarus, the stone being rolled away, and just seeing what God can do in your life. But the context of where we're at is Jesus has made those I am statements throughout the book of John. We've heard that he is the bread of life. We've heard the light of the world, that he is the good shepherd, that he is the gate or the door. Last week we heard that he is the resurrection and the life. And all of this is in the context of I am, that word that we look at, Yahweh, the name that God gave himself that set him apart from all other gods, that he is the one true God, self-existent, all-powerful, and he can work in your life. See, this is where we're at, just after these I am statements, and Jesus makes the sixth statement, which is I am the way, the truth, and the life. And contextually, the book of John, it takes a bit of a turn at this moment. We're now straight into the second half of John, and the focus is still on his words and still on who he is for your life, but it now looks at his last days on earth. It talks very much about the sacrifice that is to come that brings you life in all of its fullness. It actually, if you read it, it kind of becomes a bit of a heavier, more emotional sort of read when Jesus reveals that his time on earth, it's almost up. And he sets things in motion to say that actually what is coming after, which is life in its fullness. See, the Jewish leaders at this point, their indignation against Jesus has grown to such a point where they're planning just to outright kill Jesus. Those statements that he has made, the miracles that he has performed, have just sent shockwaves throughout Jewish communities. Some have rejected him, some have accepted him, but the majority of leaders, they're saying they want to kill him because he's preaching heresy, according to them, to say that he is the great I am. We have in John 12, Jesus has been anointed at Bethany. He's had the triumphal entry as he comes in on the donkey. Lazarus is now kicking about. Remember, he was raised from the dead last week. He's now kicking about and people are coming flocking in, wanting to know what Jesus did in his life. But at this point, in such victory with Lazarus, Jesus predicts his own death. And then in John 13, we have the Passover feast where Jesus himself becomes that servant. He makes the disciples clean. He says, you're already clean. And he washes their feet. Again, that symbol of what he's about to do, sacrificing his life. He then predicts his betrayal one more time and sends Judas out. But what he does in this moment, victory with Lazarus, what he does next is he then begins to comfort his disciples, even in the moment of his own betrayal and death. He comforts his disciples. And again, highlighting his need to leave to bring them life in its fullness. So we read in John 14, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas then says, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered with this statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and you have seen him. See, if we take this statement, it's incredible words from Jesus. If you take it generically, what he is saying is, I am the only way, I am the only truth, I am the only life. And that when you experience him, you come to the Father, God himself, you experience it in its fullness. You see, in the times that we're in, the world asks this question. They ask, what is the way? What is truth? What does that mean for me? How can I experience meaning and purpose? That's the context that we're in. People want to know, how can they be fulfilled? And Jesus stands up in the middle of his own betrayal and in the middle of his own death to come to say, I am it, the way, the truth, the life. See, the current context is uncertainty. Everybody is searching. What is the way? What is the truth? What is the life? See, even in a context of people that I work with in my job, I'm a social worker, and I work with families, individuals, they're all trying to go their own way, try to find meaning, truth, to experience the best life they can get. And it works itself out. I see absolute turmoil, chaos, substance abuse, domestic abuse, mental health issues, dysfunction, people unable to think clearly. It's a culture not too different to ourselves at times of self-protection, self-gratification, manipulation, responding to a lack of control in a search for meaning. People I work with, they're unaware of their true identity and who God has made them to be, paralyzed by fear, unable to change their lives. They're not even able to open themselves up to what God has called them for. And sometimes we're a bit like that. We close ourselves off, ask the questions of the media, of what's going on in the world around us. We say, what is truth? But what we're going to hear today from these words from Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, is that when you align yourself with truth, when you walk in his way, you will experience life. And I want to encourage you this morning, no matter where you're at, there is a better way. Under the name of Jesus, there is a better way to experience fullness in everything that he has for you, despite circumstances. You see, what Jesus is saying in this moment, he's saying, I am the only way, the only truth, the only life. He's saying what is then echoed by the disciples in the book of Acts when he then goes. And it says that salvation, as we would hear in church a lot from Andrew preaching, soteria, salvation, wellness, deliverance, restoration, to be whole, to be saved, exists in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. So we're going to look at these three words. The way, the truth, the life. I want to bring real to life what these mean and what Jesus himself meant, but also what God speaks to you now through this. So we look at the way. This word in Greek is hodos. And what it means is it's a way, it's a road, a journey, or a path. The word even talks about how it can be a full day's journey. So from beginning to end, it's this road that you walk on. It could also be the sense of a way, like metaphorically, you know, like a way of thinking, a way of feeling, a way of deciding. What Jesus says when he says, I am the way, he says that he is the way that you must enter or pass by to come to life, to come to God. He is the way to the Father. He's the way in which you walk to experience grace and life. It's that way that you will find life in its fullness. The amazing thing here is Jesus is talking about himself being the sacrifice, the only way to life in its fullness, God himself. But in the context of the day, when Jesus uses this word, which means road, the context in the New Testament is Jesus would have been walking on Roman roads, and he would have, I think there was three main highways they were called, and the phrase was that all roads, all main roads lead to Rome. This is a phrase you maybe even heard before when you think about the Roman Empire. This is something that was very big in the day. All roads lead to Rome, and Rome was this picture of peace, security, safety, power. So Jesus didn't just mean that he is the sacrifice for God. He's actually meaning that he is your way to peace, security, safety, power through him. He is your way out of slavery, out of sin, out of darkness, out of condemnation, but not just from the negative stuff, but straight to the positives, which is peace, security, wholeness for you. Everything that's in the Father, it is through Jesus. See, the incredible thing that this word hodos is, it's not just this part of the way, it almost looks at it as can be like a full day's journey. And it's not part of the way. The word indicates journey, the whole journey. See, we have a tendency to ask God, do you know, what are you doing? What is the way? Where are you taking me? But Jesus himself is the way. He has already gone ahead of you. From beginning to end, Jesus walks with you that you can experience the Father. See, sometimes we're a bit like Thomas who says, Show us the way. Jesus, I don't know the way. In my own life, I'm a little bit like this. See Google Maps and journeys? I Google Map everything, every journey. I do the same journey from home to work every single day. And I will Google Map this every day to see, has the journey sped up? Has it took a little longer? And I kind of set myself a little bit of a challenge. I'll say, we'll see about that. 25 minutes, we'll see about that. I always want to know the way. I want to know how long it's going to take. I want to know, has the journey changed? Will I encounter anything different? That's the way I work with journeys. Sometimes, well, I think a lot of the time, we're the same, aren't we? We say, God, what's happening today? What are you going to do in my life at this moment? How's it going to work out? What's the way going to be? How long is it going to take? How am I going to experience blessing? And I want to encourage you, in moments like this, when we question, God is in this, and he is in your questions. He is in the pondering. And I want to move on to talk a little bit about how you, when you align yourself with truth, that is where you will continue to experience blessing in the waiting and or the tension, as it's been called throughout this series in John. Looking at this word for truth, it's aletheia. I think we spoke about this a few weeks ago as well. It's not merely truth as spoken. It's truth of idea. It's reality. It's sincerity. It's truth in all moral spheres. It's divine truth revealed to man. And it's objective truth, not truth that you feel. It is absolutely categorically right. That's what Jesus says that he is. I am aletheia, this truth. He is reality. He isn't some fiction, or he isn't some God that's not steadfast. He is absolutely real. He is not an illusion, and he brings reality to you. The way of Jesus is reality. It's not wishful thinking, experiencing the Father and peace and security. And it comes from this world, which I can say this is aletheis, I think is the way it's pronounced. And what that means is means this truth of who Jesus is, it's no longer hidden. You do not have to find the goodness of God anymore. You do not have to search for it. It is there, freely given to you. It is true for all peoples at all times, no longer hidden. And we read that, don't we, in his word. Jesus says that his word is truth. Jesus is the living word, that embodiment of truth. And we know in John 1:17, that central verse we're talking about in exchange at the minute, that it's grace and truth came through Jesus. Again, we ask ourselves that, don't we? Say, what is truth? It's the question we always ask. Well, Jesus, what does that mean for my life? And I want to encourage you that today, when you align yourself with what the Word says about you, when you align yourself in that way of Jesus, you will experience freedom. We always ask it of ourselves, don't we? God, what are you doing in this moment? What are you saying to me? And what I'm here to tell you today is that when you align yourself with the Word, that's where you'll begin to see the breakthrough. In John, it's John 8, verse 32. It says that the truth sets you free. I want to ask you a question. Do you need more freedom today? Do you need to experience more of God's grace, more measure of his freedom? It's simple. You align yourself with the Word. The truth is not a list of do's and don'ts anymore. It's not the way we would understand it when you think of true and false. It's the truth of grace of God through Jesus that he is inclined to bless you. He's actually inclined. He wants to get that little bit closer to you to bless you. But I want to speak into something today, and I want to hang on this word of truth more so than the other two as well. And I really feel the Lord asking me to dwell here. It's sometimes when we think of truth, in what stops God and his grace working in our life is we partner with lies that we tell ourselves, and sometimes that nullifies the grace in your life. We often partner with what we think about ourselves, or the enemy tries to tell us about ourselves. And the enemy is at work to keep you from knowing the truth, which is God has blessed you with unmerited favor to walk in fullness, to walk in that way. And we do, we tell ourselves some of those lies. And I want to draw your attention to two passages. It's in 1 Samuel 17. You will know this story. It's David and Goliath. And then Matthew 4, which is the temptation of Jesus. Goliath, the giant who was 9 feet tall or something like that, no sweat, David. It was a giant who came from Gala. And what his name meant was to uncover, to strip, or to remove. And if you know the story, day after day for 40 days, he plagues the Israelites by saying they're no good, that nobody can stand up to him, and he wants to have a challenger. And he berates them with all sorts of stuff until David steps up. He is a symbol, Goliath, of the enemy. He's a picture of the enemy who wants to use lies, fear, intimidation about you and your identity in the same way with the Israelites, and deception to paralyze you and stop you from moving forward in the purpose that he has for you. That's what Goliath represents. He calls out to them. They're paralyzed. He has stripped them of their identity. They no longer, unlike David, think that they can beat this guy. They see what's in front of them and they don't see what God is saying to them. That's what the enemy does. He always attacks your identity and he tries to take you from that place of righteousness, which is the way of Jesus, that Jesus way of he's the way to the Father. He tries to take you out of that place. We see it as well in Matthew 4 when the devil tempts Jesus. You again will know this story. Jesus is baptized and he goes straight into the wilderness. The devil himself, his tactics are to use the word against the word. It doesn't work well for him. But it's a picture of how the devil, the enemy, puts things to you that sound good, but actually they're not true. I want to challenge you to not settle for half measures. Don't settle for what the enemy tries to distort and change, because he will use those lies that aren't easy to recognize. The enemy doesn't use blatant lies against you by saying things like God isn't good or God isn't love, because you would see that very clearly. He distorts and he twists your identity and who you are. Because sometimes it's not about what we believe about God, because sometimes they're steadfast. We believe he's good. We believe he's on our case. We believe he's for us. But sometimes it's about what we believe about ourselves. The enemy knows your vulnerabilities, but let me tell you this, there is hope for you today. His grace is made perfect in weakness. No matter where you're at right now, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you've experienced, no matter your circumstances, his grace is made perfect in that. So what are some of those lies that we tell ourselves? The important thing is, when we hear lies from the enemy, when we're tempted, as Jesus was, who didn't sin, but as we're tempted to see things the way the enemy wants us to see it, we tell ourselves things like, God's already done enough in my life. He blessed me before. Why would he bless me again? Because look what I did. Look what I thought about God. Look what I said. Look how I sinned. And we again come back to that mindset of we can be sin conscious as opposed to Jesus conscious. But this is why Jesus is the truth. He is the one that came, aletheia, to say, center your life on me and throw away those lies. Sometimes we think, you know, but God blessed me 5 years ago and he did an amazing thing, but he couldn't do it again. What I want to say to you today is your God has not finished with you yet. That is not the way of Jesus. The way of Jesus, hodos, is beginning to end. The way of Jesus, he will continue to work in your life. We sometimes tell ourselves, it's never going to change. That situation that I'm going through, this what I'm experiencing right now, it's never going to change because it hasn't changed in such a long time. I'm here to tell you today that the way of Jesus is the way to the Father. Peace, security, wholeness, blessing. When you fix your eyes on him and align yourself with truth, there is a better way, which is perfect peace. We see incredible similarities in these two passages, 1 Samuel 17 and Matthew 4, with David and Jesus. They were both, the chapter previous in 1 Samuel 16 and Matthew 3, both anointed, both called, and in the next moments they find themselves against the enemy, a chapter later against Goliath and in the wilderness. But the amazing thing that sets them apart and sets you apart when you're called by God is they were grounded in what God had spoken over them in the previous chapter. In 1 Samuel 16, Samuel anoints and the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him." This is David. This is the one. These words that David took upon himself, "I am the anointed," and he was anointed to be king. And then we look at Jesus, Matthew 3, and the voice comes from heaven when he's baptized. "This is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." When your identity is rooted in your anointing, what God has said over you, what he's called you for, it does not matter what comes next. It does not matter what is in the wilderness with the temptation from the enemy to try and knock you off course. It doesn't matter what giants are in front of you, because when you're rooted in what God says about you, this is the truth, aletheia, when you're rooted in who he says you are, opposition becomes opportunity for a revelation of his grace. That is the way the Lord sees it. There's an amazing point about giants when we look at Goliath. Joshua, in the book of Joshua, left giants in Gath. This is actually where Goliath came from. And it says, I think it says Joshua 11, it says that the Amalekites, Joshua had wiped them all out, but he left them in Gath. And then what we have is years later, Goliath is raised up from Gath where the giants were left. But what does the Lord do with David? He gives another opportunity to wipe out the giants that have been left behind. I feel it was really strongly just in my spirit to speak over you today that there is fresh victory for some of you over old giants that you have, again, almost left by the wayside, but continue to listen to some of their words over you, like Goliath speaking over the Israelites. There's fresh victory for you today when you align yourself with the Word, when you align yourself with that truth, that way of Jesus. God gives another opportunity for the giants, in the same way David did, to cut off their head and to not allow them to speak into your life anymore. To not allow you to have that unbelief anymore that that situation is going to stay the same. To not allow you to think that my family won't change, my circumstances won't change, my health won't change. No, there's fresh victory for you today over the giants that have tormented you for a long time. So I really feel that as some fresh victory for you today, even over the things that you thought, but I couldn't deal with it then, so how could I deal with it now? Align yourself with the word of truth. When we look at truth, John 8:32, we know that Jesus says the truth will set you free. But in John 8, verse 34 to 36, he says something that I've missed before. He says, "Very truly, I tell you, everyone who sins, that is sin by nature before Jesus, is a slave to sin." Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family. But listen to this. But a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. When you're called by God, when you're a son, a daughter, rooted in righteousness, let me tell you, you belong to the family forever. And nothing that the enemy says, nothing that the giants say over you, whether they've said it before and they say it again, it cannot remove you from that place of righteousness, that way to the Father. What are some of the truths that you need to hear? I want to speak these over you and let them wash over you despite your circumstance, despite where you're at. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He knows the plans that he has for you. Nothing, no thing can ever separate you from his love. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ. You are a co-heir with Christ, and no weapon formed against you shall prosper. As Jesus says, John 14, the same chapter, you will do greater things when the Spirit of truth comes to remind you of what you're capable of in Christ. He is your provider, Jehovah Jireh. This is a key one for some people. He who began a great work in you will see it to completion. If he has blessed you in a certain area before, but you're not seeing the fullness, he will bring it to completion. You are a new creature. The old has gone, the old nature called by God. When you live in that anointing, it does not matter what comes next because you're fixed on that way. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If God is for me, who can be against me? It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am a royal priesthood, a holy nation, the temple of God. The Spirit of God himself lives inside of me. And I do not have a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. And John 10:10, as we lead into this word life, he has come that I may have life and life to the full. Align yourself with that truth. When he speaks his word to you, that aletheia, it is objective truth. You cannot wish it away. It is what he says, and he is the embodiment of truth. Align yourself to it with what he says about you. You are free forever, and that is your nature. Amen. Listen, when we look at the life, we've done the way, the truth, the life. This is the word, we've heard this a lot actually. I think Penny had mentioned this a couple of weeks. It's the word Zoe. We look at it in John 14, Jesus says it, but John 10, Jesus talks about he is the life, he is the sacrifice, and he talks about how he's the door, and nobody comes to the Father except through the door and the gate. So Jesus has mentioned this already, this Zoe, and he mentions it again. What this word means, Zoe, is life in all of its fullness. It means that it's almost this sense of one who is possessed by vitality, this sense of get up and go, freedom, experience, and all the goodness that God has to offer. That's what Jesus said he came for. That's what Jesus said he's the sacrifice for. This word Zoe, it almost means this life preserved, not just preserved, though in the midst of perils, but with a suggestion of vigor, that you can have vigor in your life despite the perils, despite the challenges, despite the temptations. It's that Psalm 91, sheltered under the shadow of his wings, when it all rages around you, you are protected and sheltered because it's life in its fullness. Church, in him, you will find meaning and purpose. Andrew highlighted last week how this life that he brought to Lazarus, but also that Jesus then sacrificed himself. Andrew said very clearly, this is not simply a ticket to heaven, this life. You can experience life-giving power as you walk every single day on this way of Jesus. It's a throwback to John 10:10. The thief attempts to rob you from that purpose, steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life in all of its fullness. And that life, it's not just heavenly salvation only. Do not settle for the half-truths that the Goliaths and the giants try to pull you into, which is God can only work so much in your life. He saved you. You're going to heaven. That's enough. No, no. This is Zoe, life in its fullness. And the word Zoe, it doesn't just mean heavenly life. The word itself actually means that suggestion of vigor in the life of challenges. It's incredible stuff. That is what Jesus has brought you. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is that life. I want to just draw your attention to the Peter, the Thomas, and the Philip characters. In this point with Jesus, when he says, John 14, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, we have three statements made by three of his disciples, either side, one in John 13, one in the middle of the statement, and then one right after. And basically, Peter says, I'll lay down my life for you. And then we have Thomas says, I don't know the way. And then we have Philip, who then says, but I don't know the Father. Let me tell you something. We have three disciples making statements like this. I don't know the way. Jesus, I don't know how to follow you. I don't know where the Father is. I don't know who he is. And Peter saying with all of the gusto in the world, I'll lay down my life for you. All three of them, they had doubts, they had temptations, and they fell in those doubts by questioning who God was and not being able to lay their life down for him. For those that have wrestled with giants before, and you feel like this sense of you haven't aligned yourself with his word, you feel like you've failed in areas, there is grace in the doubting. Jesus says in the middle of these three disciples, right in the heart of it, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way over your doubt. I am the truth when you have unbelief. And I am the life when you question what he's doing and what he's up to. There's grace for you in those moments. Andrew talked often about this tension, living in the now and the not yet. When you're focused on what God can give you almost, when we treat him almost this God that blesses us and gives us just a stack of blessings, the tension kind of becomes a bit more tangible. You know, it becomes a little bit more of God, but I'm not seeing blessing. I don't know what you're doing. What's the way? How long is it going to take? I want to encourage you, and this is a real challenge for you, in the process of waiting, in that process, pursue the presence while believing for blessing. I want to read that to you again. In the process, in the waiting, pursue the presence while believing for blessing. When you pursue his presence, why? Because Hodos, the way, the road, from beginning to end, he is with you despite circumstances, life in all of its fullness, when you align yourself with that truth. As we finish, folks, listen, this series of John, I mean, there has been such life in it. God is reminding you of who Jesus, the person of Jesus, is for you. The way, the truth, the life. He reminds you today that there is no other way. This is the way of the Calebs and the Joshua who did not just see the giants, they saw the promised land. This is the way of David who stood up to Goliath and said, no, the battle is the Lord's, no matter what I have in front of me. It's the way of Jesus with you from beginning to end. It's the fact that there is no other truth. Align yourself again with the person of Jesus. Remember what we said, aletheia, from the original root word of it's no longer hidden. It's no longer concealed. Freely accessible. His word says you're righteous and what? You're part of the family forever. Life in all of its fullness. I want to lay a challenge to you as you sort of question where you're at in your own heart. Do you need to experience more freedom today? Are you holding on to the hope that he's going to come through for you? Because I've got news for you. He is. Align yourself with truth. He invites you today to walk with him on this way, the way of Jesus, beginning to the end. Some of us, when we struggle with our thoughts about what God's doing in our circumstances, with our mental health, with our family situations, I want to urge you, there is a better way, and it's the way of Jesus. God himself says that you will keep in perfect peace those whose mind is set on you. It's Zoe. It's life in its fullness. So I challenge you today. He wants to transform you from the inside out, that hodos way of actually walking with him, but the metaphorical way of thinking, feeling, doing. He wants to change you into his likeness. Church, there is no one else. We think of that verse in Acts at the very start. Salvation, soteria, there is no other name of which men are to be saved to come to the Father. For you right now, I encourage you, he holds all things together. He is the way, the truth, and the life. I want to challenge you from what you've heard. If you have never experienced this way, this truth, this life, I want to pray for you. If you have known Jesus for a long time, if you've never met him, I want to pray for you because there's an opportunity for you here to commit yourself to God, to experience him as your Lord and Savior for the first time, but also to recommit your way to the Lord, to say, I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to experience everything you have for me as I align myself with your word. So if you have never experienced Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, let me pray for you now and pray this with me. This is a prayer that will change your life. Say, Father, thank you, Jesus, that you are the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you, Jesus, that you were that sacrifice that died for me so that sin and behavior no longer has a hold on me. Jesus, come into my life, come into my heart, that I experience you in that Zoe life, in all of its fullness. I commit myself to you now, in Jesus' name, amen. As we would say every week, if you've prayed that prayer, we want you to get in touch with us. That will be the most incredible prayer you can ever pray. For those that have known Jesus for a long time, the challenge for you is that it's not much different. It's the question of who do you say Jesus is? Align yourself with that truth on that way with him from beginning to end, and I guarantee you, you will see life in its fullness. Amen.